You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Thursday morning to you. Welcome to my house. The house that Mac built. My version of Yankee Stadium, which is the house that Ruth built. Just threatened my daughter, Colleen. Get your ass out of bed. We're not playing reindeer games like we did yesterday, okay? That's called old school parenting, okay? That's the way that works. Yep. Old school parenting. Yeah, and let me tell you, much Colleen stock went up a little bit. I just saw a application for a part-time job. Who knew? Yeah, at Mickey D's. Yep. So, I'm not going to say that to her, of course, but it was noted. Reflects well on a girl. She wants a job. Wants her money. But she's, yeah, get a part-time job. How about that? McDonald's. The best first job you'll ever have. None of our kids have ever worked there. But they have washed dishes. They've done retail. What else they do? The dishwashing thing in a real restaurant. Well, in Kim's restaurant, where you actually wash dishes. You don't just put them in a machine. You're like, you're scrubbing pots and pans. No, I'll put hair on your ass, whether you want it or not. Yeah. And the people that you encounter in a kitchen, that's an interesting crew in and of itself. So, a lot of education going on in part-time work for teenagers. That's right. It's called seeing the world from a different perspective, not your mommy and daddy's prism exactly. Observation, as we get going here, Florida National Guard is now mobilizing. Okay? I'm thinking it's a little late for that. I thought South Carolina and North Carolina did it right. You mobilize before, you stage before, outside the affected area, and you're already going as the thing moves through. As soon as it gets through, you begin to move into those areas and do the things you do. So Florida has my attention relative to disaster execution. Okay? I'm not liking what I'm seeing right now. Maybe they did mobilize. And maybe they did those things before, but I thought North Carolina, in conjunction with the DOD, did about as good as you can do to have asset staged to move into the affected area. When I see that maybe it's additional units that are now being mobilized, I don't know. But got my attention. Other thing that got my attention is at 5:30 this morning, my phone rings. Yeah, I'm thinking, who the hell is this at 5:30 in the morning calling me? Has one of my kids stayed out all night and need a ride home? Are they in jail? The answer to that is no, because the number pops up. It's a 910 area code. Now, for those of you that are familiar with the Marine Corps, you'll know, right, that that is the area code that encompasses Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. And if you have friends that are stationed there, normally you've gotten phone calls from that. So I figure, well, it's a Marine calling me at 5:30. It's probably for Ness wanting to chit-chat about something. I answer the phone, hello? And it's Staff Sergeant Adam Nielsen. He's the Comptroller Chief for the 2nd Marine Division. And he introduces himself. He asks if I'm Dr. McNamara. I said, absolutely I am. Even though that's not an official title of mine, but what the hell, man? I'll be Dr. McNamara, of course. So anyway, now I'm better, like, am I getting investigated for something? Like, why is this guy calling me? And he says, hey, sir, he said, do you have, and he gives me the name for a, he says, do you have a cage code? I'm like, no. What the hell's that? He said, well, you know, you're going to speak, and it's the easiest way if you're going to speak, do federal government speaking, it's the easiest way to get paid. Okay, so in spite of me being now initially irritated because I'm getting a call from a staff sergeant at 5:30 in the morning, when he's talking about me getting paid, now, like, all of that anger goes right out the window. That's right. All the anger goes right out the window. What's up, bud? But you know I have to shit on him for what he did. And he says, I hope I didn't wake you up. And I said, it's 5:30, Staff Sergeant. What the hell are you doing? He goes, oh, you're on the west coast. I'm like, as opposed to the, like, northwest coast? It's still 3 hours difference. Like, what are you doing, meathead? And I don't know if he said, sir, the recruit didn't understand. I said, wait a minute, you've been on a boot camp for at least a few months, yes, if you're a Staff Sergeant? Yes. And you handle money, so you're supposed to be a smart guy. Yes. I said, the only reason I answered this is because I thought it was my boy, Furness. You know who he is? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm familiar with him. Okay. You might be hearing from him, just so you know. Because I'm going to call him up. After I get off the phone with you, I'm calling him, and I'm going to use this to shit on him. sir, you don't have to do that. I'm like, oh, I hello, I know I don't. I want to. So he then explained to me what a cage code is. I said, oh, well, you know what? Thanks for all the information. But I hope you know that you're going to become famous for this. And he said, is that necessary? And once again, I said, no, it's not necessary. Of course it's not necessary. But it needs to happen so you can grow as a human being. He said, I don't know. I should have made him call me doctor again. First of all, call me Dr. McNamara when you address me. So, yeah. So, if you bump into Staff Sergeant Nielsen from the comptroller's office, what's the difference between a controller, not a forwarder controller, but a financial controller, and a comptroller? Financial controller is a senior level executive who acts as the head of accounting and oversees the preparation of financial reports, such as balance sheets and income statements. He's the controller. MP comptroller. What's the comptroller do? Comptroller versus controller. Made for me. See, and look, I know like 99% of the people that are listening to this say, I don't know the difference either, Mac. Thanks for making me smart this morning. You're welcome. What is the difference between a controller and a comptroller? At the end of the day, the controller versus comptroller relationship is not all too diverse. A controller is a person that is at the highest accounting level in the organization. In other words, he or she is the head of the financial division of the company. Controllers are responsible for the financial accounting, reporting, analysis, interpretation to the executive management team. They also administer the internal controls within the organization. A comptroller must possess the same duties of a financial controller. There is not a significant difference in the roles of a controller versus a comptroller. A comptroller definition is a senior accountant in a government organization. However, the duties of a comptroller and controller do not differ. However, there seems to be a slight difference between the two entities when examined at a closer level. Well, we're not interested in that. Okay, so a comptroller is a controller in a government organization. All right, got it. Well, there's a historical origin to the terms, and then I want to talk about this guy who got yanked out of Turkey and why it's a big deal, because I really don't understand it, why it's a big deal. Because that shit happens all the time in the Middle East. All of a sudden, somebody disappears. Yeah, what happened? Magic? He vanished? Origin of comptroller versus controller. Because both definitions seem strikingly similar, why do we have two terms in the first place? Question mark. Years ago, in the 1800s, the term comptroller arose from a careless misspelling of the term controller. At the same time, if one was to examine the origin of the term comptroller, the word itself has French roots that date back to the 15th century. The original English word, counter-roller, is a word that means one who specializes in checking financial ledgers. From then on, the spelling, along with the duties of a regular controller, stuck, and the term comptroller became a similar term referring to a financial officer in the government sector. You know what? It all come down to it. Somebody like Staff Sergeant Nielsen got it wrong. Right? bad hearing, right? Because the reason he's in the financial part of the military is because he had his ears blown out by a cannon or something like that. And they're like, he can't do this stuff anymore because he can't hear. And so what we'll do is stick him in accounting. He's a good dude. So then somebody walks in and they say, what's my job? Guy says, controller. And he says, got it, controller. Writes it down. Nobody figures it out for another 100 years. Why do we have a comptroller? I don't know, man. Staff Sergeant Nielsen in 1812 said, that's what I am. Huh. All right. Works for me. So, yeah, that's the way that stuff works. So there's no difference. Anyway, thought I'd sort that out for you. Anyway, the next thing I want to talk about. Evidently, the Saudis send a hit squad, diplomats, to Turkey to lay in wait, and then they summon this guy who gets into them in the media, and they kill him, chop him up. Yeah, they put him in a Vegematic, and then they all leave. What did they do with his remains? Did they take them with them? Did they have a big suitcase when they're leaving? I haven't seen that picture yet. But trust me, it's out there. Because you can't do anything these days without getting photographed, right? But here's my question. This happens all the time in the Middle East, right? Saudi Arabia does it. Poof, people just vanish. Yeah, it's like magic, like David Blaine. All of a sudden, they're gone. What happened? Nobody knows. These guys showed up in black cars. They were down the street. All of a sudden, he went out to water the lawn or walk his dog. Dog came back. He did not. What's going on with that? So why is this? So, and first of all, Turkey, right? Turkey's raising a stink over some guy missing. Look, my opinion, they staged that whole coup thing a year or so or two ago. So as a pretense for Erdogan taking and centralizing power over the government and eliminating any dissent. That thing to me was such a bullshit event. And so now Turkey is like saying, hey, this is wrong. They do it all the time. And so why are we hopping onto it? And not saying, yeah, you guys probably should sort that out. Yeah, you two beacons of freedom, Saudi Arabia and Turkey, you jackasses sort that out. Why is the United States all of a sudden saying this is wrong? Well, hell yes, it's wrong. They do it all the time. Journalist disappearance triggers global concern. Khashoggi wrote articles critical about Saudi policies. Turkish sources say they believe he was killed inside the consulate. Saudi Arabia dismisses the allegations as baseless. So why is this serious? The head of Interpol is missing in China. Have you seen that story? So you got a journalist missing in Turkey and the head of an international police force, they have an international police organization missing in China. Have you heard the president talk about him yet? Why not? Oh, because we don't want to piss the Chinese off. I say piss the Chinese off every chance you get. Because until somebody puts them in a box, going to be trouble. Going to be trouble, man. Gonna be trouble. My nephew Johnny Wags first of all, he's awake at this hour. Who knew that? Dr. Mac. That's great. Exactly. It's about time, too. Dr. Mac. No kidding. He called me Dr. McNamara. And come on, I've never been called that. So what do I? Do you think I corrected him and said, come on, man, I'm not a doctor. I'm a normal human being. Right? I said, no. Yes, that's me. Bond. James Bond. So, yeah. He woke me up like that. At 5:30 in the morning. And he's supposed to be one of the smart guys. So this is just a memo to all you Marines listening out there. Before you pick up the phone and call somebody, you might want to check and see if you, like, what's the location of that? Who is this dude, man? Before I wake his ass up at 5:30 in the morning. I'm just saying. Okay? Or you can have complete disregard and become a legend on All Marine Radio. All right? At some point, we'll get him on the program just to ask him, why did you call me at such an early time? So, is it horrible if they killed him and chopped him up? Yes. But my point is they do it all the time. Why are we acting like this is some kind of anomaly? Like, these governments do this all the time to their people. What makes it different? I'll tell you what makes it different. They went to a peaceful, free, democratic country like Turkey. Wait a minute. That's not Turkey. Turkey's none of those things. Oh, yeah. My bad. Turkey's run by a strong man now. It's a joke. So I just don't understand. Okay? I don't understand why all the alarm. And if we're going to start having people's wives come to the White House after they've been taken prisoner, then why don't we have the guy's wife who's the head of Interpol? Shouldn't she come along? So is it simply because that they have pictures and this has become a media thing? Maybe that's what has our fancy, that we have video of him going in and not coming out. So it's like, why did we go to Somalia back in the early 90s? We went to Somalia because there was videotape on TV every night of all these starving people. Every night. And President Bush was moved. There was no military reason why we should have gone to Somalia. None. The dangers of moving pictures and what they do to the American people. So again, I that this guy's missing and probably dead is terrible. That the Saudi government had something to do with it? Does that surprise anybody? Come on now. Okay. So think about that. Okay? And the peace-loving Turks, who are slowly but surely becoming a fundamental Islamic state, that they're involved in all this? Why is this a big issue for the Turks? Because they don't like the Saudis, that's why. And why are we in it? Because we want to keep our bases in Turkey? Turkey's a NATO member? Why are we involved in it? Things to ask yourself. All right. Another headline I saw yesterday that I saw it first in on the website Task and Purpose. Marines looking into bigger rifle squads for deployed forces. Now, those of you may recall a few months ago when the announcement was made that the Marine Corps would go to three-man fire teams as part of their rifle squads, and then a three-man headquarters element for a grand total of 12, I said, that ain't right. And my suspicion was, I just invented the word suspicion, right? My suspicion was that it was a financial thing, that the Commandant had to buy other kind of people, cyber people. He had to buy other intel people. So in the budget, he had to buy those people, right? So what we can produce really quickly are grunts, 0311 grunts. We can produce those in about 90 days, maybe a little bit longer, maybe 90, another 60, maybe 150 days. We can produce a bunch of them. Okay, so I said, this is just a financial deal. And then you'll see this number go up. And what do you think happens? Headline yesterday, Task and Purpose, by a guy who used to write for Military Times, been on the program, Jeff Skogel. He's a big guy, got a beard. Marines looking into bigger rifle squads for deployed forces. Boom. I hate to say I told you so, but, and when I say but, imagine me standing on my left leg, rotating my right hip kind of up and over my left so my right ass cheek is pointing towards you. When I say butt, I point to my right butt cheek. Butt, and do that move. I told you so. After shrinking infantry squads, Marine Corps Commandant General Robert Neller is now considering making squads bigger for deployed Marines. Marine Expeditionary units may need rifle squads with 15 Marines because they are, quote-unquote, forward deployed, Neller said Wednesday at the Defense Writers Group breakfast. What? Yeah, I don't know when it's going to start, Neller told Task and Purpose. That's just something that came up here recently. But I think if we can generate the people, if we can buy the people, we're probably going to do that. The three extra Marines would be 0311s, the easiest thing to produce in the Marine Corps. Maybe not the easiest, but certainly up there with the easiest. And they would be added to each of the squad's three fire teams. For the immediate future, it appears that most rifle squads will get smaller. Miller said he hopes the Marine Corps can begin introducing the 12-man rifle squads with assistant squad leaders and systems operators starting in 2020. I want to get that implemented to see how it works, Miller said. If it doesn't, we'll adjust. That's right. That's why you listen to all Marine radio, for insight like that that you don't get elsewhere. Right? The rubes that write and post, they don't know it. They don't know it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who said that? Jesus said that. That's right. I'm mindful of that. That's why you listen here. One other thing I want to say about Florida. You know, when you live down there, you're used to this kind of stuff. Structures are built for this kind of stuff. And at first blush, as the most severe weather has moved through there, it doesn't look like anything too crazy has happened. Right? It doesn't look like the gloom and doom prediction of Florida's going to cease to exist and fall in the Gulf of Mexico actually turned out to be true. Doesn't look like it. Now, we'll continue to we'll continue to hold our breath on that. You never know. But by first blush, as with most weather-related reporting, a lot of hot air, right? A lot of, we'll get the rubes to watch this. Get that guy back out in the 100-mile-an-hour wind, and can you throw something in the air? Maybe like a trash can lid? And look, here's how we want you to do it, right? He's going to be standing at one spot, right? If you make sure that he's far enough away from you and out in the wind, right, and you can zoom the shot down, you can throw stuff up in the air, and it can blow between the camera and him. And we could all go, whoa, right? And if you judge by the way the wind's blowing, it's not going to hit him because the interval between the camera and him is going to be great. We close the zoom down, and we allow for the garbage to go flying through, and we can go, oh, Larry, are you okay? That'd be awesome. You could win a Pulitzer Prize for shit like that. So, anywho, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the TV people. That's what they do. It's like the stupidest stuff you've ever seen in your life. That's the way TV people are. They're the most superficial bunch of douchebags you've ever met. Yeah, they're TV people. It's superficial. It requires no thought, right? The hosts, what are they doing? They introduce video clips for a living. Are they required to have a deep thought? No, because somebody's talking in their ear. Ask this question. Ask this question. Ask this question. Ask this question. Yes. Yes. Yes, TV people. Not so much. Okay. So, with all that said, good morning to you. Now you know why you listen, because you hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Well, maybe you hear extra stuff in addition to the truth. So, I'm not going to say nothing but the truth, because you hear some bloviating. After all, Gunner is on the program. That's right. Mr. Human hot air machine himself. All right. The Marine Band. The Marine Corps Band makes the morning official on this 11th day of October. Fall is officially here. Good morning to you. Dedicated to the National Guard of Florida. I'm not sure if you got activated in time, boys and girls, but get your shit on your vehicles, get moving. The people in your state need you, so all the best of luck to you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
You know, this is just a point. He likes to speak like that. I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol. Right? He likes to speak in kind of a rough Western way. He is one of the smartest dudes, not in the room, in the zip code, okay? He likes to do that, though. But you can hear Jack Riley here in a second, too. And I love this.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn.
Neller.
To learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
I messed with that audio a little bit. Because the audio monkeys that put it together, they didn't really have it right. They didn't make that noise. They didn't make that noise loud enough. And then his voice kind of trailed off when he says, we got to win. So I amplified his voice. So if I know those guys listen, the audio engineers at Headquarters Marine Corps. Get your shit together, boys and girls. Why am I policing up after you? I'm not exactly sure. Not happy about it. I'm not happy about it either. Alright, check the weather around Marineland. Jack Riley. Jack Riley's a man. I'm humbled to be in the same organization that Jack Riley was a part of, man. That guy's a straight up baller. Anyway, if you haven't listened to his interview, consider yourself counseled. Go on All Marine Radio website, go to podcast, put in the word Jack, like my dog, or Riley, R-I-L-E-Y, or put them both, and you'll find the interviews I did with him. Awesome. Currently, Cotty and 76 in Quantico with a weather warning. Camp Lejeune's got 6 weather warnings. Holy shit. So we'll investigate that. They've got clouds at 83 degrees, but they do have a staff sergeant that's up awful early making irresponsible phone calls all over the country. But as I said, he made me smart about getting paid, so I'm not that pissed. All right, 6 weather warnings. One is a tornado watch, in effect from 10:02 Eastern Time, which was 7:02 West Coast Time, through 9 p.m. this evening. That's 2100 Eastern Time for all you military types out there. Tropical storm warning. Until 1 o'clock on the East Coast. Flash flood watch until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Tropical weather statement, right? Beach hazard statement. Coastal flood advisory from 8 a.m. today through 11 o'clock tonight. So as Hurricane Michael moves from Florida through Georgia and into the Carolinas, as it dissipates, North Carolina, keep your fingers crossed that they don't get too much of that. Granbury, Texas is fair and 59 degrees. Big Timber, Montana, clouds and 32. 29 Palms, sunny and 56, getting cold out in the desert. Camp Pendleton, clouds and 59. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 69 degrees. In Afghanistan, clear, dark, and 68 in the Helmand Province. And at the home of All Marine Radio, we have two weather warnings. What the hell is that about? Beach hazard statements. Okay. That means, oh, a high surf advisory. Yeah, cowabunga, dude. So that means all the stupid among us will grab their surfboards and head down there. So good luck to them. But, right, you live on the coast. Natural selection has to happen somehow. Currently cloudy and 61 degrees. Looking for a high of 72 beautiful degrees. 79 tomorrow and then 70 on Saturday. That is a look at your weather. We'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio on a Thursday. You're going to hear Tyler Jones in about 18 minutes. Yeah, we'll come back, check news headlines. You'll hear Tyler Jones. He, a former United States Army Ranger, is part of a group of Rangers that have started a website, a media site called The Freak, F-R-E-Q, as in frequency. So you'll hear from him. I'm a fan of the Rangers. I'm pretty one of the most professional groups I worked with while active duty in Iraq. I got a chance to work with the Rangers a few times, and they're squared away. Came away nothing but impressed with the way they work, the way they show up, the way they do their stuff. So we'll talk to Tyler about becoming a United States Army Ranger. We'll talk about to him about the Freak. And what's interesting about them is that, right, if you were going to start a website and you wanted it to be successful, would you go there? Would you do substantive or would you do clickbait? They are skewing to do substantive. Interesting, because that's not the way the media works today. So, interesting. So you'll meet him in about 17 minutes. So don't touch that bell. We'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio. News headlines coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Colleen, up early today. Way to do a little remediation. This is how you get your ass out of bed, sweetheart. Boom! Yeah, she played a big rivalry game last week. Yesterday. Right, the local rival, right, in Costa Mesa. Costa Mesa High School and Estancia High School. Colleen plays for Estancia. Costa Mesa came in to their gym a couple weeks ago. Piss pounded them. Yeah. Yeah. Colleen played like crap. I said, hey, man, you can't think about the rivalry or anything. You just got to play the point. You got to put it all out of your head. You just got to play. Like all the hoopla and all that, and you're playing your big rival. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you walk on the court, you just have to play. Can't think about any of that. So they play yesterday, the rematch in Costa Mesa's gym. So JV volleyball's the best of girls, I think, are best of three games, two out of three. I think boys play best out of five. Anyway, so they go to the third game. Third game's the 15th. Colleen's team's up 14 to 11. She's playing in the back row. Ball gets served, and it's going over her head, so it's going out, and she puts her hands up, and then she kind of starts to hit it and then stops. Ball sails out, game's over, they start to celebrate, except everybody stops because the referee blows a whistle, and the referee kind of looks around, and a girl that plays on Costa Mesa's varsity team is doing the flagging, you know, is one of the judges for the JV game, right? Now, this girl's at the other end of the court from Colleen. So Colleen's on, as you're looking at the net, and you're the referee, you're standing at the net, right? Colleen's on the left side of the net in the back row. This judge is on the right side of the net, and they're the line judge, so they stand on the back line at the corner. And that judge says, no, she touched it. And you're like, whoa. But I saw the look that Colleen had on her face. Like so if that ball goes over your head, right, and you tried to hit it, and you didn't touch it, and you saw it sail out, what would you do? Boom, it's like getting hit by a pitching baseball. The reaction is immediately, yes, we just won. Colleen's reaction was to look at the referee. Yeah, like Joe looks when he, like, snatches something out of the garbage and waiting for me to see it and beat his ass. Yeah, she had the, like, I'm guilty look. And I said, she so touched that. So the next play, kind of pretty close. Serve is coming towards Colleen's head, and she lets it go. It goes out. They win. So after the game, Catherine says, Colleen didn't touch that. I said, oh, she did. She said, no, she didn't, Dad. But I said, did you see the look on her face? Catherine says, no. I was watching. I said, look. She had the look of guilt on her face. So Colleen comes up. Catherine says, did you touch that ball? Colleen says, yes, just a little bit. I said, I told you. I know guilt when I see it, okay? I've had 4 kids. So anyway. Colleen got remediated. She was up early today. All right. News headlines, Marine Corps Times. Counterinsurgency is here to stay. Marines plan to double foreign training, military training advisor group. Neller says he plans to double the size of the group and to rename it the MAG, the Marine Advisor Group. So it'll be a standing force. Former journalist in World War II Marine buried in the Philippines as an unknown finally comes home. Again, you know, we see more and more of this as we're able to do this better. Gerard Murphy never met his uncle Richard, but the Potomac, Maryland native grew up hearing stories of the former journalist who enlisted in the Marine Corps during World War II and disappeared during the June 15, 1944 amphibious assault on the Pacific island of Saipan. This was a mystery in our family for basically my entire life, said Gerard Murphy, a lawyer. It's bad enough to lose someone in a war. Having them missing in action is an added burden and grief to carry. That all changed in 2015 when Gerard Murphy was contacted by Ted Darcy, an independent researcher specializing in identifying World War II-era military remains. Darcy, a retired Marine gunnery sergeant, believed he had made a match between Richard Murphy's dental records and the remains of an unidentified Saipan casualty buried in the Philippines known as X-15. 3 years and many steps later, Richard Murphy's remains are finally coming home. Darcy's efforts resulted in the military disinterring the remains of the X-15 grave and bringing them to Hawaii for genetic testing. Gerard Murphy and one of his cousins provided DNA samples. Basically, we spit in a bag, and the military was able to make a positive match. So the remains are expected to arrive in November when he will be officially welcomed home. You know, these stories never get old because, you know, I mean, you read this is somebody, right? This is somebody, right? Who enlisted, and it's our responsibility to bring them home, just like it is our responsibility to bring those in North Korea, those in Vietnam, where we fought our wars, to bring them home. And so these stories are very cool. Sean Snow writes a story about it may soon be a 15-Marine rifle squad. We don't say man anymore. Most likely for MEW deployments. Talks about General Nellis' comments. So Anyhow, that in the news. Kind of an interesting headline. You're on your own. USC left count on Navy escorts in the next big war. So in a peer-to-peer war, when Navy shipping would be crossing the Atlantic or the Pacific or any other body of water, it would more than likely be accompanied only by aviation. Only by aviation. So the question is, will you begin to see the Navy begin to produce drones that these ships will control, that will have sonar on them, and that you can remote? So you for instance, you're a Navy supply ship moving. Might you have a series of drones, both air and sea drones, that extend your ability to see and give you reaction time, both for submarines and for aviation assets? So be interesting to see how the Navy, good luck. This night vision goggle is headed to the Army and the Marine Corps sooner than you might think. So advanced night vision device. So we'll talk to the gunner about that. And a bad story, Charity for Veterans Funerals faces federal investigation. Federal agents suspect the owners of the Minnesota dog tag furniture pocketed funds that were supposed to pay for veteran funerals, according to court records. Come on, man. How big of a piece of shit do you want to be in your life? Come on. Top five stories in the early bird today. One, U.S. senators order Magnitsky probe as Riyadh's Capitol Hill clout plummets. The leaders of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and 18 other senators have sent a letter to President Donald Trump that could pave the way for sanctions in the disappearance of a Saudi dissident journalist. Again, people go missing all the time. Why is this one such a big deal? Okay. I'm not sure. So I'll do a little reading. That's what I don't understand about this. Is it unfortunate? Yeah. Is it horrible? Yes. No doubt. But this goes on all the time in these countries. They're internal affairs, folks. They're nobody to be trifled with, okay? I got an interesting article about that I'm not going to have time to do right now. Maybe I'll talk to you about with Mike about it later. Headline is, Up the Academy, Get the Ladies on the Gridiron. And it's about, look, if they're ready for combat, let's get them on the football field. And the conclusion is, oh, they can't play football. Why not? Well, they don't, physically they can't do it. So if they can't play football, how do they lead, how do they become infantrymen? How do they do that? Good question. So anyway, interesting little article there. Interesting little article. Like, we're okay saying, oh, well, yeah, go ahead, try out. How about it? We don't lower standards for them, though, do we? No, because we take our football pretty damn seriously. Number two, America's obesity is threatening national security, according to a study. It's well known at this point that just under 30% of Americans aged 17 to 24, which are the prime ages to join the military, aren't eligible to join because they're obese, and that number continues to grow. That number threatens national security because it decreases the pool of eligible participants. Number three, will the remnants of Hurricane Michael hit your military base? You can find out. All you got to do is click on this link. Next headline, exploring the humanity of unmanned weapons. What? The humanity of it? Like, I don't understand. It's a weapon. A robot's a weapon. What is the humanity that we're talking about? I'm not really sure. Number five, can the Army pull off buying two new helicopters back to back? Film at 11. Okay, so those are your newest headlines. We'll take a quick break. On the other side of the break, you'll hear Tyler Jones, former sergeant, United States Army Ranger, currently a head of marketing for an organization called The Freak. They're a multimedia company, and oddly enough, you're going to hear they've chosen to do relatively intellectual content. Yeah, go figure. In a day and age that we raced to the bottom as fast as we can go, right, with whatever is clickbait. They're kind of swimming against that current. So we'll take a quick break. You'll hear Tyler Jones on the back side of it. All Marine Radio continues on a Thursday. Don't touch that dial.